Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24. Is 24 or 23? 65? Is 65. Okay. Text 65. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasyamanan Yasyamanan Makarakandala Charukarnam Brajat Kapola Subhagansa Vilasa Hassam Nityotsavang Nata Tripur Dikshivi Pitantyo Nityotsavang Nata Tripur Tovadantyo. Sorry. Naryo Narascha Mudita Kupita Nimescha Yasya manan makarakundala charu karnam Brajat kapola subhagam sabilasa hasam Nityot savang natatripur drishivipi bantyom Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Someone can read. Yasya manam karakunda lachavanam Yasyakabola vivadam Naryo narascha mudita kubita nimescha Yasya manan makarakundala charu karna Brajat kapola subhagansa vilasa hasam Nityotsavang nata tripur disivir pivantyo Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Matayis? Yasya kum chara karna Brajat kapola subhagam savilasa hasa Nityok savang natatripur disivi pivantyo Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Yasya manam nakarakundala charo karna Nityok savang natatipur rishivi pivantyo Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha Nasya manu karna Mm-hmm. Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha. Yasya hus ananam face makarakundala charu karna decorated by earrings resembling sharks and beautiful ears. Brajat, brilliantly decorated. Kapola, forehead. Subhagam, declaring all opulence. Savilasahasam, with smiles of enjoyment. Nitya Utsavam, whenever one sees him, one feels festive. Natatripu, they could not be satisfied. Drisivi, by seeing the form of the Lord. Pivantya, as if drinking through the eyes. Narya, all the women of Vrindavan. Nara, all the males, devotees. Cha, also. Mudita, fully satisfied. Kupita, angry. Nime, the moment they are disturbed by the blinking of the eyes. Cha, also. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As stated by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manusyanan sahasresu kaschi jatati siddhaye jatatanapi siddhanam kaschi mambeti tatvadaha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Sorry. Among the Boyas, Vrishnis, Andakas, Pandavas, and many other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan is especially to be noted. That relationship is described in this verse by the words Nityok Sabam Natatripur Dishivi Pivantya. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially, such as the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, the gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied. Although they saw Krishna's beautiful feature constantly seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Vrindavan saw Krishna almost every moment. But when Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds, there where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought that Krishna's lotus feet, which they there not placed on their breast, because they thought their breasts not soft enough, were being pierced by broken chips of stones. By even thinking of this, the gopis were affected and they cried at home. These gopis, who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna, saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyelids disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the Creator. Lord Brahma, the Creator Lord Brahma, therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. at the end of the ninth canto, in the 24 chapters, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered Krishna's head. The entire Srimad Bhagavad Purana is the embodiment of Krishna's of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint of how beautiful his face is. Krishna's smiling face with his cheeks, his lips, the ornaments in his ears, his chewing of betel nuts. All this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the creator of the body for making eyelids that obstruct their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Yasoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Srila Gaur Govinda Swami Tinamine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyade Satarine. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangu Langayate Giri Yat Kripatamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. Krishna Swadamu Pagate Dharma Gyana Divisaha Kalonastra Disamisam Puronarko Adunoditaha. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied on knowledge and religion. Persons who have lost their vision due to the darkest age, Kali Yuga, shall take life from this Bhagavad Purana. Thank you very much. I request the mercy of the senior devotees, especially His Holiness Amala Bhakta Prabhu. I'm not qualified to speak. This is a very, very interesting verse, very rasika verse, and it has, of course, we know that Krishna has many different devotees, millions and trillions, we cannot even count them. Whatever was given to us in the scriptures is just the ones that were familiar to, otherwise Krishna has trillions, millions, and who knows, a number of devotees. So in glorifying Krishna, we have different devotees who perceive Krishna in a particular way, and according to that particular rasa or that they have with Krishna relationship, they glorify him accordingly. And we get the benefit because all of us were individuals. We have different relationship with Krishna also. We might don't know exactly what is a personal, intimate relationship with Krishna yet because we're so contaminated. But if we follow the process, if we hear the glorification of Krishna through these devotees, we can have a glimpse, we can purify ourselves, and we can learn so much. So sometimes while we in our service, you know, with this, in distributing literatures, we meet people, and they ask and said, what is the bottom line of you doing this? What are you actually trying to achieve? And the first thing that comes to my mind, I said, three things. I said, to know about God, Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to love Krishna. So those three things. If you don't have knowledge, you can observe. Practically speaking, you know, or may you might sentimentally, but eventually you drift away. So you have to have knowledge. And that's very important. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, at the opening of this verse, he said, Manusyanan sahasresu kaschin yatati siddhaye yatatana bisidhanan kaschin mambeti tattvataha. It's very rare, he said. Manusyanan. That person is very rare. So many other verses say the same thing. There's another one in the Bhagavatam that says, Labdva sudur lavanidam bahujam bhavante manusya nartadam anitya napi hadira turnam jate tanapatit anumritya yavan Nise Yasaya Visayo Kalon Sarvata Asyad. It says that after many, many births and deaths, one achieves the rare human form of life, which although temporary, affords one the opportunity to attain the highest perfection. Thus a sober human being should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life, as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is only possible for a human being. So, this is the seriousness of human life. It is described here, how important a human being, how a human being should be, in which activities the human being should be engaged, and how to know Krishna, how do we qualify? Krishna himself says in the Chatur Sloka verse, he says, Gyanam paramam guhyanme yad vigyanam samambitan sarahasyan tadangancha grihana gaditan maya. He says that knowledge about me, as it is described in the scriptures, he says, is very confidential. But it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. In other words, knowledge alone is not enough. You have to realize it through devotional service, what we're doing now. So he says, I already given everything there. All you have to do is just take it up. So that's our position. If we want to qualify to understand Krishna, we have to scrutinizingly hear from the devotees, from the shastras, and then we get purified, and then eventually we can understand. So now, I was thinking that in order to be fair to this description or glorification of Krishna, I would like to share with you some beautiful verses from some devotees, how they see Krishna, how they perceive Krishna. And one of them, of those devotees, that was in the from the times of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas, is the no other one than the mother of the Pandavas, Kunti Devi. So she has some beautiful prayers. I might not read all of them, just a few. And so if you can, please be patient and listen to. So she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. This is, let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. And then she says, another one here. She's describing now how Krishna came to this world. He says, Keshchida hura jamjata punyas lokasya kirtaye yado priyashanam bhaye malasya seva chandanam. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. Another say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as a sandalwood appears in the Malasya hills. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki pray for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Others say that the world being overburdened like a boat at sea is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, pray for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the troubles. And yet, others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. And then she says, O Krishna, Those who continually hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. I like this verse. It says, Tvayime ananya visaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratin udvahata ada gange bhoga mudambati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. And then the last one. Sri Krishna, Saka, Vrishni, Rishabhavani, Drog, Rajanya, Bansa, Dahana, Pavarga, Virya, Govinda, Godwija, Surarti, Haravatara, Yogeshwara, Kila, Guru, Bhagavan, Namaste. She says, O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Vishnu, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So this is one of the some of the few verses. Of course, Queen Kunti, Mother Kunti, she has many other beautiful verses there, but some of them are very accurate to enrich our Krishna consciousness, because after all, we are training ourselves. This is the training ground to actually to be qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. If we don't pay attention to our service, if we don't relish these topics, if we don't glorify Krishna enough, and instead we choose to glorify the material world, whatever, this material body, and then obviously we have to come back again. And that will be a very unfortunate situation. Now, these prayers, more or less, if you pay attention, they were in the mood of awe and reverence, very welcome. We need that very much. We cannot go immediately to Krishna and rush into the rasika. But at the same time, it's always good to know how other people glorify Krishna, because Krishna is unlimited. One time, Narada Muni, Uddhava, and one cowherd boy from the Srimad Brihad Bhagavatamrita are having a discussion. And Krishna, and then Uddhava is encouraging Narada Muni to speak about the glories of Krishna. He says, actually, it's very difficult. No one can actually glorify Krishna in totality. But no, somehow or other, I'm going to try my best. And then he talks about so many beautiful verses in glorification of Krishna. So, actually, one of the first persons who glorifies Krishna, as we know, are the gopis. And as one famous verse that goes, Aradio Bhagavan Braye Satanayas Tadama Vrindavanam Ramya Kwachit Upasana Vrayabadu Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Puranam Amalam Prema Pumarto Moham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidan Tatadara Naparam. He's saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is to be worshipped along with his abode, Vrindavan. And the best worship, the best glorification and worship that can be given to the Lord is done by the Vrayavasis, by the gopis. So if you want to learn, he says, there you go. He says, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, the supreme authority on everything. And the pure goal of life is Prema Pumarto Mohan, love of God. He says, and then he's explaining, the devotee says that this is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, I was saying that in order to honor this particular verse, which is very sweet and nice, I thought, with your permission, if I can read some of the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay, so we're going to boy the Sanskrit or Bengali translation of this verse. The title of this book is The Opulence or Sweetness of Krishna. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. Who else can glorify Krishna more than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani? Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastime as human beings are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form, he's a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hand, and his youth is new. He's also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastime as a human being. My dear Sanatan, he's talking to Sanatan Goswami, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all the living entities within the three worlds. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifest from Krishna's eternal pastimes. Translation: the wonder of Krishna and his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Thus Krishna becomes very eager to taste that wonder. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in his opulences. Ornaments caresses the body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of ornaments. Despite the wonderful beauty of Krishna, there is his three-curved style of standing, which beautifies that form. Above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated. The beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive that it attracts not only the demigods and other living entities within this material world, but the personalities of the spiritual sky as well, including the Narayanas, who are expansions of Krishna's personality. The minds of the Narayanas are thus attracted by the beauty of Krishna's body. In addition, the goddesses of fortune, Lakshmi, who are wives of the Narayanas and are the women described in the Vedas as most chaste, are also attracted by the wonderful beauty of Krishna. Translation: favoring them, Krishna rides on the chariot of the minds of the gopis, and just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds like Cupid. Therefore, he is also called Madana Mohana, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has five arrows, representing form, taste, smell, sound and touch. Krishna is the owner of these five arrows, and with his cupid-like beauty, he conquers the mind of the gopis. Though they are very proud of their super excellent beauty, becoming a new Cupid, Krishna attracts their minds and engages them in the rasa dance. When Lord Krishna wanders in the forest of Vrindavan with his friends, on an equal level, There are innumerable cows grazing. This is another of the Lord's beautiful enjoyment when he plays on his flute. All living entities, including trees, plants, animals, and human beings, tremble and are saturated with jubilation. Tears flow constantly from their eyes. Now, this is very good for the puyaris, or those devotees who dress Krishna. If they pay attention to this, they can dive into this. You can relish more your service. Krishna wears a pearl necklace that appears like a chain of white ducks around his neck. The peacock feather in his hair appears like a rainbow, and his yellow garment appears like lightning in the sky. Krishna appears like a newly risen cloud, and the gopis appear like newly grown grains in the field. Constant rains of nectarian pastimes fall upon the newly grown grains, and it seems that the gopis are receiving beams of life from Krishna, exactly as grains receive life from the rains. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is full in all six opulences, including his attractive beauty, which engages him in conjugal love with the gopis. Such sweetness is the quintessence of his qualities. Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, has described these pastimes of Krishna throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the description, the devotees become mad with love of God. Translation: just as the women of Mathura statically describe the fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan and the transcendental qualities of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described different melodies of Krishna and became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Grasping the hand of Sanatana Goswami, he recited the following verse: what austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of the face of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equal or surpassed. That love which is not to be equal or surpassed, that loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh and unique. Translation: the bodily beauty of Krishna is like a wave in the ocean of eternal youth. In that great ocean is the whirlpool or the awakening of ecstatic love. The vibration of Krishna's flute is like a whirlwind, and the flickering minds or the gopis are like straws and dry leaves. After they fall down in the whirlwind, they never rise again, but remain eternally at the lotus feet of Krishna. Translation: oh my dear friend, what severe austerities have the gopis performed to drink his transcendental beauty and sweetness through their eyes in complete fulfillment, thus they glorify their birds, bodies, and minds. Translation: the sweetness of Krishna's beauty enjoyed by the gopis is unparalleled. Nothing is equal to or greater than such ecstatic sweetness. Even the predominating deities of the Vaikuntha planets, the Narayanas, do not possess such sweetness. Indeed, none of the incarnation of Krishna up to Narayana possess such a transcendental beauty. Translation: even the dearest consort of Narayana, the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by all chaste women, is captivated by the unparalleled sweetness of Krishna. She even gave up everything in their desire to enjoy Krishna, and taking a great vow, she underwent severe austerities. Translation: the quintessence of Krishna's sweet bodily luster is so perfect that there is no perfection above it. He is the immutable mind of all transcendental qualities. In his other manifestations and personal expansions, there is only a partial exhibition of such qualities. We understand all his personal expansions in this way. Translation: both the gopis and Krishna are complete. The gopis' ecstatic love is like a mirror that becomes newer and newer at every moment and reflects Krishna's bodily lustres and sweetness. Thus competition increases, since neither give up their pastimes, become newer and newer, and both sides constantly increase. The transcendental mellows generated from the dealings between the gopis and Krishna cannot be tasted by fruitive activities, yogic austerities, speculative knowledge, regulative devotional service, mantra yoga or meditation. This sweetness can be tasted only through the spontaneous love of liberated persons who can chant the holy name with great ecstatic love. Such ecstatic transactions between Krishna and the gopis are only possible in Vrindavan, which is full of the opulence of transcendental love. The form of Krishna is the original source of all transcendental qualities. It is like a mine of gems. The opulence belonging to all the personal expansions of Krishna are to be understood to be bestowed by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the original source and shelter of everyone. There are so many more that it can go on. But just to give you a little bit of flavor of another, that's the Madhya Lila chapter 21. So now, just to give you just a little flavor of how the cowherd boys, this is a description of Krishna and the cowherd boys in the Yamuna River. Just a few minutes in this. Okay, this is from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna, please help me. Krishna, Krishna. Okay. It says here from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. By Sanatana Goswami, translated by Gopi Parana Das Prabhu. It says here, the Lord, unlimited in pastime, was coming nearby to water his animals and play with his friends in the Yamuna, daughter of the sun. As he approached, he danced with a gay worthy of honor from the playful walk of the kings of elephants. His chief ornament was his own unique youth. He was an ocean filled with wonderful waves of beauty, ever adorned with newer and newer charms. He redoubled the joy of everyone's mind and eyes. All auspicious signs mark his beautiful body. Garlands of nipa flowers adorn his ears, and a peak of feather his hair. A string of pearls decorated his conch-like neck, and his yellow silken garment, upper and lower, shone brilliantly. On his broad chest, home to the Srivatsa Mark and Lakshmi, hung a long garland of gunja berries. His waist was like a kingly lion's. His prowess like that of hundreds of lions, the essence of all good fortune, worshipped his lotus feet. Enhancing his dress were many garlands of kadamba flowers, gunja berries, tulasi leaves, and sprouts of sikanda. Variously colored flowers adorned his waist, and his belt hang in a way that beautify his hips. His arms, round, broad, and stout, and pleasing to the eyes, shone with splendid golden armlets and bracelets. The fingers of his lotus hand happily played on his charming flute as he held it to his bimba red lips. The unprecedented embellishment of his flute song, anticipated by him alone, bewildered all the universe like an intoxicating nectar, and the restless play of his glances, silent and slight, gently decorated his lotus eyes. The splendid dance of his eyebrows, a pair of archer's bows, nourished his servant's loving feelings, and his beautiful, ever-smiling lotus face attracted the hearts of the best of sages. On the tip of his nose, a nose exquisite like a sesame flower, shone a single pearl born from the forehead of a lordly elephant. Now and then his hand will gracefully brush aside the bees of his locks of hair, which were adorned with dust raised by the cows. His broad forehead, shaped like a half moon, glowed with the splendor of his straight up tilak formed with clay from the Yamuna. His limbs were painted with designs made with various mountain minerals. He was an ocean full of huge waves of sportive pastime. Standing in his charming threefold bending pose, sometimes he played various entertaining melodies on his flute, making his dear friends laugh. His feet decorated the earth in all directions. surrounding him on all sides were dear friends whose appearance resembled his, and he stood with his elder brother Rama, whose Balaram, whose complexion was white, who was bedecked with blue silk garments, whose body was most attractive, and whose age and dress were just like his own. The weight of the persistent heavy joy of seeing Krishna made the two devotees fall. Indeed, they suddenly threw themselves to the ground as if to offer prostrate obeisances, all their competence lost in the excitement of the moment. So this is a little glimpse of the deep. This is one of the, just a little glimpse of how devotees glorify Krishna and how beautiful. We have so much material to actually dive into these transcendental literatures and keep Maya away, because if we value other things and not Krishna's paraphernalia and devotees and devotional service, then we are doomed. Then our human form of life is wasted. And that's why we have many devotees like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, chanting so many beautiful songs like Hari Hari Bifale Janamagonainu. I wasted my life. Why? Because I didn't worship Radha Krishna. And now what? I have to come back again. Hari Hari Bifale Janamagonainu. And what to speak, Narottam Das Thakur has so many beautiful songs too. So in that way, if we dive into the scriptures and if we listen to the words of Krishna, the words of the spiritual master, the words of the devotees, and with a humble attitude, we don't know anything, we don't know nothing, we want to learn. I came here to learn. I came here to be corrected. And please correct me. And I will appreciate that in that note, that if anything that I do wrong and you see that I'm doing something wrong, please, it doesn't matter, younger devotees, anyone, I will accept that correction, because if I am not corrected, I will never make progress in my spiritual life. So with a humble attitude, with faith in the Shastras, with faith in the Guru, we can achieve perfection of life. As Prabhupada was saying, we have in the verse, we have to qualify. And Krishna himself actually makes that statement also about valuing his knowledge. He says, Rityartanya pratiyeta na pratiyeta chadmani tadvidya anmanomayan yatavaso yatatamaha. He says that Brahma, he's talking to Lord Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it's not related to me, if it's without relation to me, he said, has no reality. Know it to be as my illusory energy. That reflection that appeared to be in darkness. So we don't want to be in darkness. We want to be where the light is. And the light is Krishna consciousness. To be conscious of Krishna. Conscious of the fellow devotees, our friends. Conscious of the people outside who are struggling and suffering. And although the service might be difficult for those that we go out and distribute books, but at the same time, we have to have that heart of giving knowledge. We're giving knowledge. We're not taking. We're giving knowledge to them. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, we want to keep doing this service. And I ask for the benedictions of the devotees to please help me to be corrected, to be better in spiritual life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody wants to make any comment, is welcome. Hari Bol Prabhu. Question. Archita might answer that question. He's the Acharya. Okay, Prabhu.
Such love of Krishna cannot be achieved through austerity, sacrifice, regulative devotional service, meditation, etc.
Okay, so my understanding in that is that there are many other personalities, not necessarily in our Gaudiya Mat Sampradaya, who also endeavor, but through their own, mostly for aggrandizement, for fame, And it's not with pure, spontaneous love of God. So although it is there, and they say it's mantra, you say, what mantra? We're chanting the mantra. But we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yoga, but Bhakti Yoga, no ordinary yoga. Astanga Yoga, Kriya Yoga. So we are practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotion. We're practitioners of chanting mantras, but the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And beginning with Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitya Ananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda. So, I don't know if I answered your question. But, exactly, there's actually another verse that sometimes we get confused. What is that? What is that verse that it says? I cannot be attained by those engaged in studying the books, by austerities, by penances. And you say, well, we're doing that. But yeah, some people are doing that without the understanding that it's to please Krishna, not to aggrandizement. Many people do Bhagavad Saptas for 7 days and quotes and references of the scriptures, mantras, but they cannot achieve Krishna like that. So in order to do that, we have to follow the footsteps of the Six Goswamis. They are our acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, is the perfect example. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro prema mritan bonihi dira dira jana priya priya karo nimatsarono nito. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.